David Ellis Dickerson has a gift. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. He's got a natural ability to craft puns and puzzles. He started writing poems after he cracked his first Dr. Seuss. His many talents found an ideal outlet in 1994 when he landed a job at Hallmark. But most greeting cards are constructed around life's varied experiences, and Dickerson found himself slightly out of the loop in that department. But as anybody who's ever received a card for a milestone birthday knows, maturity comes in strange ways and times, and David Dickerson found that Hallmark was as good a place as any to grow up. His new memoir, House of Cards, tells the story of his transition to adulthood, and it's also a look at a much admired and much maligned industry. We want to use his expertise as a greeting card professional this hour, so we have an email challenge for you. What's the sticky situation Hallmark does not make a card for? What is your greeting card emergency? The email address is talk@npr.org, and if you'd like to ask him about his adventures at Hallmark, our phone number, 800-989-8255. You can also join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Later in the hour, Detroit native Daniel Okrent joins us to look at the decline of the Motor City and how it can rise again. But first, David Ellis Dickerson joins us. He's in our bureau in New York. His book is called House of Cards, Love, Faith, and Other Social Expressions. Good to have you on Talk of the Nation today.
It's wonderful to be here, Conan.
And incredibly, you seem absolutely cut out for the job at Hallmark. There are very few folks that actually carry a rhyming dictionary around with them.
That's true. And I gave up that habit once I started actually meeting women. But yes, it has served me well.
It served you well at that time. And you, you used poetry to try to get ahead with women from an early time.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I for the longest time after Hallmark, even the habit stayed with me. And although I picked up the habit of drinking during my years at Hallmark, I would find like anytime you're at a bar for any length of time, someone's going to come in with a birthday.
Hmm.
And I could write. I'll whip up a birthday card for you, you know, really, really fun based on your name or whatever it is. And I would, you know, write it and hand it to some woman. And they always, you know, really liked me and thanked me and bought me a drink and never actually got my phone number.
A good icebreaker, but not doesn't close the deal.
There was another chapter I had to learn. Exactly. Yes.
Indeed. Yeah. Explain to us first of all how Hallmark works. I think a lot of us have the idea that there are a bunch of bright, creative people who sit around and write cards and pass them around, and they say this is a good one.
Yes, actually, 500 Days of Summer, which just recently came out, had a main character who was a greeting card writer, and. They made one error. Like in the very beginning of the shot, they have they're establishing that they're sitting around trying to come up with a holiday. And Hallmark and no greeting card company has ever invented a holiday. You don't need to. People are begging for cards at holidays. Everyone's coming up with holidays. And Hallmark just, you know, or greeting card companies in general just publish what people want.
And though you say at one point in your book that they don't do enough Mardi Gras cards, or at least not enough funny ones.
That's true. That was a time, a relatively low time in my life. I thought, I know what would be funny. How have I, the internet was still relatively new. You know, this is 1995, 1996. And so everyone had filters, and particularly Hallmark, of course. They want everything to be family friendly. But I thought, I wonder if there's some way to challenge the filter while still looking like I'm doing justifiable research. And so I thought, what could you put in the search term that would turn up maybe something naughty that you could say, but look, boss, I was just looking up bunnies, you know, or something. and bunnies seemed too, you know, easy. So I actually went with Mardi Gras. You're right. I thought that'll be I can propose it as a new card idea,
Card line.
Yes, and sure enough, I got in trouble.
As well you should have.
Yes,
but I was fascinated by the idea of these big I guess, posters-sized things which have every card in the line. And if there was, you could flip them and find the place where there were Mardi Gras cards or where there were cards for, well, priests' 40th anniversaries.
Right, the Ruby Jubilee, exactly. Yeah. And these places were so big that people didn't even know what was in them sometimes. Like, I was assigned Ruby Jubilee as my first card, and it was clearly such a small caption, priest's 40th wedding anniversary, first anniversary of being a priest, anniversary in the ministry. And I was Catholic and had never heard of it. And I went to the only other Catholic I knew on staff to write it, and she had never heard of it.
She was a former nun.
Yeah, exactly. And so it was astonishing. So, yeah, small captions, we call them the wings. They're these large, large kind of poster-sized you know, displays that are hinged on one end, and you can, like, flip through them like some giant book that clacks. And they're also organized according to popularity. So if you have a smaller card shop, you're only going to get the top five, you know, selling cards. And if you have the deeper, you know, shelf space, then you can go all the way. And then at that point, you might be hitting the Ruby Jubilee cards.
But it'd have to be a pretty large card shop to have a Ruby Jubilee card.
Actually, I talked to a card guy while I was writing the book, just to do a little more research. I walked into a card store and saw what they were doing today. And one of the guys said that that's actually the main way they compete with the internet, is by doing these captions that no one else has. So they'll do twin birthday, you know, they'll do, you know, Valentine's Day anniversary and stuff like that.
But I was fascinated. They go through these and they say, you know, we need to freshen up that birthday spot for people under the age of six and over the age of four. And the editor will then assign a writer to do a new card.
Right. Well, it depends on the staff. Or it depended back then. What often happens is the editor will would put out a whole bunch of requisitions for different kinds of cards and say, we need a four-line verse for sister, we need, you know, sister birthday, we need an eight-line, you know, gag or something. And but in the humor staff, they would just send them out and hope to God someone picked up them all. It seems odd that I can't believe it actually worked, but every so often actual requisitions would go begging. And so an editor would want something that we did not supply. But on the main writing staff, which is much more serious and much more workmanlike, because that was the humor staff I was talking about, and on main writing, you really did get stuff plumped directly on your desk. Look, we need animals. You're good with animals. Go.
We've put out an email challenge. One of the things that former greeting card professional David Dickerson specializes in now that he's out of the game full time is greeting card emergencies, those strange situations that Hallmark has yet to develop a card for. And email us talk@npr.org. Here's one we have from Christopher in Gilbert, Arizona. A friend died in the emergency room and was brought back to life. I wanted to send him a welcome back from the dead card, but alas, those do not appear to be available.
Wow, that's beautiful. Because what I love about that is it's so optimistic. It allows you to be sort of celebration, you know, celebratory and oh my God. I think you'd want to do something like
oh my God is good.
I think something like welcome back. And while we're at it, how about happy birthday?
That's great.
You know,
yeah,
that would be just lovely. I think, I'm sorry, I'm writing that down. By the way, Neil, I got you a card. I wrote you a card.
You did?
Yes. It says on the outside, Happy Birthday, Neil Conan. And on the inside, it says, If not today, then eventually. Because Wikipedia is vague on your actual birth date, and I just
It's actually next month.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah, well, so if you store it in a freezer, the wishes will keep.
Thank you so much. That's very kind of you.
All right.
Let's see if we get a caller on the line. This is Tracy. Tracy with us from Tucson.
Hi, Neil. My name is Tracy, and I can't hear you very well because I'm streaming at work, so there's a little bit of a delay. I apologize for that. But I wanted to say hi to Dave. I don't know if he remembers me, but we went to college together.
Oh, my goodness. Hi.
And we were in a Christian group our first couple years of college together, and I'm not a very religious person anymore, but I've been looking all over for him because I'm trying to get back in touch with people that I knew. And during my freshman year, I came down with a case of acute appendicitis, and I wound up in the hospital having a surgery, having an appendectomy, and I woke up the next morning and the word had spread around this group of friends of mine that I had wound up in the hospital. And I woke up and there was my boyfriend at the time with Dave at the end of my bed, who had made me a special get well card for your appendectomy. And I loved it because it had three cartoon pictures, and the first was me sick, and the second was me under anesthesia, and he had put little X's in place of my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third was me feeling much better because I'd been treated in the hospital. So, Dave, I don't know if you remember me. It's Tracy Kurtzman, and it's great to talk to you.
Oh, my God. It's so wonderful. You know, it's funny. You have just blown my mind because, you know, like I've drawn cards like this and handed them out, you know, through the years. People always say, oh, I'm going to save that. And I've never, like that, you saved that for 15 years, right?
More than that. It was,
oh, my God.
I was 18, and I'm 39 now. So, and I still have it in a little box of
I am so honored.
Paper. So
oh,
thank
I'm
you,
so
and I'm glad,
glad
that you've made this into a full career. I think that's wonderful. You're one of the most smart and witty people that I have ever known, and I think this is perfect for you.
Thank you so much. Oh, you're so sweet. Okay, thanks.
Tracy, thanks so much for the phone call.
Thank you, Neil.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And I take it she's aptly described your Leonardo-like artistic abilities.
Right. X's instead of I's. That's exactly the level of skill I have. There's a reason I was hired as a writer and not an artist, and you can see actually on the greeting card emergency videos, look quickly at the cards because I try to flash them in front of the screen because I have what you might call a naive drafting style.
There is a series of greeting card emergency videos you can find on YouTube that have been done by David Dickerson in connection with the publication of his book, House of Cards, Love, Faith, and Other Social Expressions. He's with us from our bureau in New York. If you have a greeting card emergency, give us a call, 800-989-8255, or zap us an email, talk@npr.org. Stay with us. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. David Ellis Dickerson may not be at Hallmark anymore, but he's still got a card for almost any occasion, an ex-fiancé's wedding, those 9/11 birthdays, or when your snake eats the class hamsters. And we have an email challenge for you. What's the sticky situation that Hallmark does not make a card for? What's your greeting card emergency? The email address is talk@npr.org. David Dickerson's book is titled House of Cards, Love, Faith, and Other Social Expressions. If you'd like to read his college poetry on, wait for it, crime and medieval German history, check out our website at npr.org and click on Talk of the Nation. And if you'd like to talk with him about his adventures at Hallmark, our phone number is 800-989-8255. You can join the conversation on our website. It's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. This is Cheryl in Mays Landing, and she wants to have this greeting card emergency addressed. I need a card for a neighbor apologizing for our dog peeing on her back while she was weeding her flower bed.
Neil, during the break, I thought of a card for that other guy, the person whose friend got brought back to life.
Brought back from the dead, yeah.
Yeah, it occurred to me that it would be great if a card that on the outside says, it's great to have you back, and on the inside, simply, please stay a while.
That's nice.
Yeah.
What would the art be?
Any kind of generic hospital bed type of thing might work.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the inside, you don't need anything at all. Although it might be fun to have something kind of defiant. You know, like a so like a leg cast that's bursting on the floor or something. But of course, the appendicitis wouldn't work.
Maybe ER paddles, you know.
Oh, that would be nice. Held up with a Rosie the Riveter arm toward the sky. I think that would be great. Welcome back.
Okay.
That's perfect.
All right. Let's see if we can get another caller on the line. Let's go to Margaret. Margaret in Phoenix.
Hello, Mr. Dickerson.
Hello.
My husband and I were married 31 years ago on Lincoln's birthday. We need a card to cover both occasions.
Oh, my God. That's really, really funny. Because the first thing I went to automatically, I'm afraid, was the fact that marriage is a form of slavery. And that's the thing.
And I thought it would be nice to reach you on your Gettysburg address or something.
And so, well, something like, so many years ago, Lincoln freed the slaves, and I have been free in my bondage to you ever since. Something like that.
That's not bad.
Yeah, well, of course, I'm winging it on the radio here.
Normally you take about 5, 10, 15 seconds to work these out.
they take about an hour to write, most of them, for the shows. So I'm impressed with what I'm doing on the time. I feel like this is like
speed writing. Yeah.
Project Runway is what this is for greeting cards right now.
Well, we're impressed too. Thanks.
Margaret. Oh, thanks. That's a lovely day to get married on.
I think it was.
Yeah.
Margaret, congratulations, and thanks very much for the call.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Let's get another email. This from April in San Antonio. I need a card for my brother who just became a father for the second time in 6 months by a second woman. He is currently dating a third.
Wow. One of the things I mentioned in one of the episodes is that I don't do kind of cards that poke at people's flaws,
mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the world is mean enough. You know, why be mean? So the first challenge of that is to find an upside. Like, you're certainly keeping busy.
Addressing the population shortage?
Exactly. And goodness, how productive your work has been. So there's something like that. But honestly, for a case like that, I would almost want to know, that he's going to be a good dad around. If not, I'd be more inclined to just go, you know what, I think I'll write a sympathy card for the woman, and encouragement, because that seems like more relevant to this particular situation. A scolding card is not something I'm actually particularly interested in.
Steven's with us from Kennebunk in Maine.
Hello, Neil.
Hi.
Hi, y'all. We were adopting our first child, and my wife and I were in a different city to be there when the child was born, so we spent a lot of time with the birth mother and the birth father, and the four of us were in this little apartment of hers, and it was her 21st birthday, and of course she was only, it turned out to be 5 days from giving birth to the child we would adopt, and while we were singing happy birthday to her on her 21st birthday, all I could think of was, Hallmark doesn't make a card for this situation.
Wow, that's beautiful, though. Really, what you have is a woman with a birthday who's about to give a great gift instead of receiving them, and that's a beautiful thing to mention, I think. Where if you just say something like that, normally you'd be getting gifts, but you're giving the greatest gift of all, and all we can say is thanks.
Hmm. Did you come up with anything, Stephen?
No, we didn't get her a card. We did get her a gift, and turned out to be a wonderful child. She's a great person. We still keep in touch with her too. So.
Oh, that's beautiful.
That's great, Stephen. Thanks very much.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Appreciate the call. I did want to ask you. Some of us would think that people who write what can sometimes seem like treacly sentiments would be cynical. And the mm-hmm. characters that you describe at Hallmark are not that way at all.
Well, some of them are. There actually were cynical people, and I had to cut them out for space. But there were, like the humor department was genuinely sarcastic. One of our guys went to Rome and brought back a Pope plate that just kind of hung in our office for kitsch value. Which is not something that genuinely nice, sweet people who are worried about how they're presented would do. We had a kind of anti-Christmas tree in the office that was simply a rug thrown over a hat rack that we would pin random things to, buttons and whatnot. And so there is an element of sarcasm in it. But I have to say, the thing that I found most about greeting card writing and greeting card writers is no one goes into this business because they're jerks. You know, you go into the business because you like making people happy and you have a skill for it and you like exercising that skill. And so the good side is you find yourself surrounded by tremendously decent people, just wall to wall. The downside is you wind up with the single most passive-aggressive corporate culture you could possibly imagine because no one will be direct about how badly you're doing. You know, they're going to say, oh, buck up. You'll do just fine. Like I had, after I moved to the main writing staff, I had writer's block for a year, which is probably the most embarrassing thing you can have as a greeting card writer. You know, like I'm just writing two-line verses. How can I not have ideas? And I was flailing, and no one seemed particularly concerned. They were all really, oh, you'll get over this. This will be nice, you know, that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't until I had, like, buried the needle in the red and was really in danger that suddenly everyone kind of turned on me. It was like, look, shape up already. And there was no in-between.
There was another situation. You had difficulty sitting in a cubicle and being creative. I can't imagine why. But there's a moment in the book where you start sitting on the window, and this becomes your place. And at some point, one of your coworkers comes down and lies down in front of you.
Right. Yes, he was making a point about how apparently I was violating people's space and hadn't been aware of this. If you have a cubicle, this is a rule I learned, and you have if you swivel your chair and can look out a window, even if the cubicle is sort of in the middle of the room, that window is sort of yours. And I was apparently sitting in people's windows because I didn't have a window. I was in the middle of the main kind of traffic area, and that was what was kind of driving me mad.
You were blocking their light. Yeah.
Being able to find a cul-de-sac to stare out at was really, really handy to me, and that was denied to me because it was interfering with other people's work.
Here's an email from Kevin in Jacksonville. I recently came out to my parents as gay, and I always thought it would have been great if there was a greeting card I could have sent to them for just such an occasion. Could you think up one that would have been appropriate for this?
I not only do I have one, it's actually available online. I wrote a coming out card. I looked online, actually. Hallmark and American Greetings and all the major major card companies don't actually have a lot of coming out cards. They aren't the ones that they do have aren't funny. I have one that you can find on pigspigot.com. I just did it for the fun of it. It's a sort of a greeting card wiki. Where anyone can submit. And it's on the outside. It shows just an empty closet with, you know, you can just see a hanger, a lone hanger sitting there. The door is open. And on the inside it says, I hear you've moved. That's congratulations for coming out. And I have another one that I'm planning, a thank you for coming out. But to come out to your parents is interesting. I am actually also planning a card because the holiday season is coming up for coming out to your parents about being an atheist because that happens a lot, at least here in New York. I don't know, it gets into the water or something. And it seems to me that the same approach that I'm planning for that one is the same one that works here, which is before you knew what I'm about to tell you, you thought I was a perfectly sweet human being, and guess what? I still am. You know, focus on what you already know in your heart and not the facts that I'm about to tell you, because those don't change a thing.
It's interesting. This book is not just a book about growing up and about a lot of transitions in your life, but they include a lot of religious progressions.
Right, because when I started, I really, really wanted to be a pastor. That was my plan, and then, which is a good plan for someone who wants to make people happy and, you know, spread goodness in the world. The problem is I studied religious studies in college, and this is actually there was a piece on This American Life I did about this where I just suddenly realized, oh, a lot of this stuff isn't true if you're really scientific and, you know, and determined to prove everything, which I sort of was. So if you demand enough proof, it's not going to be there. And so I wandered away from the faith, but I found myself still acting like a religious person, because the habits stay with you. And, you know, one of the things that is the major conflict in the book is that although I'm not technically a fundamentalist Christian anymore, I'm a liberal Catholic, and I, you know, we go even further afield, I still am a virgin, and I'm dating a woman that we've been together for 6 years and haven't done that much. That habit stays with you if you're afraid of making a mistake, and you don't need, God to make you afraid.
Our guest is David Dickerson. His book is called House of Cards, Love, Faith, and Other Social Expressions. He got this email, from Ken in South Bend, Indiana. There once was a card man named David who was to light verse long enslaved. When given a topic, he grew quite myopic until the last word was engraved. We're talking
nice.
About, it's nice, it's nice. Yeah, little limerick never hurts anything. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's see if we get another caller on the line. This is Nina. Nina with us in Birmingham in Michigan?
Yes.
Okay. We got to get my Birminghams confused.
Yeah.
Okay. This is kind of fit into your mean category, but I really want to send my husband's ex-wife a card that says, you know, we've been married longer than you guys were. Get over it.
That's funny.
Because she deserves it, but I won't do it. But I really wish there were cards out there like that, because some people just, it's appropriate.
Well, there is a way to do that if you emphasize the positive, which is to say, like, presumably you're objecting to a specific kind of behavior she's doing. Like, is she, I don't know, like, hanging around places uninvited? Stalkery?
Totally.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Never exited the picture after 15 years. Yeah.
Well, I think the best thing I can think of is to suggest you're a smart, capable person, and just look at the whole world of things available to you besides my husband.
Oh, I love that.
It could come with tickets to ballroom dancing lessons or something.
Maybe I'll get her some tickets for that or something.
it would be a generous gesture.
Okay, thank you.
Nina, thanks very much for the phone call.
Thank you.
Here's two emails, both along the same lines. One from Melissa in Norman, Oklahoma. When you have loaned a friend money and really need it back.
Oh.
And this from Anita in Hudson, Ohio. How about when your children's father is late with the child support? That would come in pretty handy.
Oh, my God. I've been in this situation so often, too. Like, one of the reasons I have relied so much on my friends over the years because I occasionally made bad life choices and thought, I know what would be great grad school.
There's so many who have made that decision.
Yes. that'll bring in all kinds of money. And I know what it's like to actually like need money back from people you've loaned money to, or to be beholden to someone and to say, I can't get it to you right way. The key is to, of course, not focus on the money so much and to emphasize the positive. We're friends, and, friends look out for each other to the best of our ability. And I think you'd have to go somewhere in the area of saying, my ability is a little tight this month. And I promise we're still friends, but we need to work together on this.
Yeah. Any windfalls coming up for you? Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Like exactly. I understand. There's money in plasma sale. Something like that.
That would be good. Yeah, something like that. Anyway, we follow your career at Hallmark through everyday cards and on into humor and then back up into main writing and then back into humor. And then finally, at the end of the book, I don't want to give it away, but you leave Hallmark and you're
right.
In search for, among other things, the girl who has not yet, it was not yet there.
Right.
Has she arrived?
No, it's funny. There's a story I tell that I can't tell on the radio, but you can listen to it online if you want. The most heartwarming wet T-shirt contest ever. Because the girl who's not there was the most religious experience I had at Hallmark. Actually, I don't want to give away a terrible thing, but I was on a really really down part in my life. I thought I had ruined my relationship. I thought my life was over. And just on this beautiful spring day that I desperately needed and was not paying attention to, a van drove by while I was just standing on the street feeling morose, and a woman leaned out and wearing a bikini and said, "Hey, lover," and like whipped off her top, and the van like roared away. And I remember thinking, this is Kansas City. That's not supposed to happen. But it was such an alarming moment of joy that I completely unexpected. And I took a class in the sociology of religion where they suggest that moments of unexpected and overwhelming grace are the moments of religion. And that's what I was looking for when I went back to Florida, to find the woman who is not there, that woman in the van.
Maybe in the next book. David Dickerson, thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, thank you. It was delightful.
David Dickerson is the author of House of Cards, Love, Faith, and Other Social Expressions. We've posted an excerpt at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. He is a regular contributor to This American Life as well.